What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch Finley. He's an NFL legend. Seems to be in a good mood. Good morning, Brian.
I'm always in a good mood, brother.
Often. I'll give you often.
Yeah, I'm more often than not. Okay. But I can switch real quick.
Nah, man, let's ride. I got a confession. Start the morning.
Okay.
Mock draft season, baby. I'm trying to get locked into fantasy. I had a draft scheduled for last night. Got unscheduled some.
Wait. Mock draft season for next year, you talking about?
Nah, dog.
Oh, for the draft.
For my team.
For your
my fantasy team.
Man, just
you don't sit around and do mock fantasy drafts,
hell me? To the no.
Man, you should really get into it.
Nah, I sit around and sip on a little something.
I'm telling you, mock fantasy drafts.
I will come to your fantasy draft and watch you dorks pick all these things and we just drink some beer with y'all.
I got one next Tuesday night. You want to come over?
Yeah, what you got?
It's my college friend draft.
Real dorks, okay.
You've met some of them.
Yeah, so I was calling them dorks. Nah, they cool.
They're all right. All right, I just had a draft. You want to see the results? What did I do here?
I've been doing a lot of...
I got a C in the grade.
A C?
A C.
Somebody got a D, I just heard. I think it was Chris. Chris, didn't you get a D?
Chris, you got a D? Heavy metal. So let's address something else.
But that was you talking earlier. Said somebody, you got a D in your draft or something?
The only...
I heard somebody saying it.
My confession is that it's mock draft season, and I'm mock drafting my ass off. I got a text last night.
I think fantasy draft and mock drafts are different, dog.
B, fantasy drafts are the actual draft. Mock drafts.
So you got a mock fantasy draft?
Yes, that's how I prepare for my actual fantasy draft. Duh.
You are a super dork.
I bet. How many people do we think play fantasy football in America?
A lot.
Like.
And they'll win them all the time. The people that do not care, they just pick a team and sit for the most part.
Now, listen, I hadn't paid any attention till last night when I was set to draft and some scheduling stuff came up. But I feel pretty locked in now. Now, I have the 7th pick is a terrible place to be out of 12 teams.
Just pick some people and keep moving. You'll be all right.
Clearly, you're really ready to dive in. Remember we did that fantasy league the first year of the radio show where B-Mitch had a team, but I think Landfill ran it?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
You know what we could do that we might all agree on is a best ball league where you just draft and then nobody makes any adjustments for the whole year.
That would probably be what I would be doing naturally.
Yeah, that is certainly what you would be doing naturally.
I think we could have a fantasy football league with this Commanders team this year. Let's just go with it.
I don't know what that means.
Let's see if any of the fantasies that we have come true.
It's funny. You and I were just talking about what this team is.
Yeah, and I'm going to be looking for them to see if they can make some of my dreams come true, fairy tales.
Can I be honest? I know.
I expect you to be.
Okay. What dreams and fairy tales, not even fairy tales, that's unfair. Like, for you, what your dream would be is them winning a Super Bowl?
What? No,
I don't think that's in the cards.
No, not this year. No, I wouldn't be. I see, the difference between me and most fans, I understand it's a process. All the fans, you get one player, they say, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. You change the coach, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. I know that's not happening. Not immediately. But you can work, you can build towards that. And that's the reason that they're working this thing, how they're working it, to try to build towards that type of deal. You don't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
We did the pregame show before Sunday night's preseason game. And I did this segment with Unyang and Leon Harris, where they both just kind of asked me questions of what they were thinking. And you know how NBC is all about the Olympics. And so Leon asked, by the next Olympics, the 2028, I believe, Olympics, mm-hmm. right? The next Summer Olympics. Yeah. Is this team a Super Bowl contender? And I thought it was pretty fascinating to look at it that way, give them some runway. And there's
Leon, smart man.
Right. And there's a few ways you can look at it, right? Adam Peters is coming from San Fran. San Fran was bad. For two seasons, third year, they got into the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They lost, but they were there.
Yeah.
And then they were clearly a Super Bowl caliber team. Then you can look at the quarterback. 4 years from now, what is the quarterback, right? And say it hits this year and he proves he's the guy, then you start to build around him and you continue to build through the draft and then maybe you supplement that with some real spending at key positions.
Okay.
Like I think to really matter, that is your timeline.
Yeah, and I think that's the ultimate thing. Like,
When I, and maybe it's quicker, but it's at least.
But when people ask me all the time, like, man, what do you think? We can make it to the playoffs this year? We can make it to the Super Bowl? And I say, listen, man, you got the NFL, you have to learn how to win. Okay? And normally that's normally like a two-year process to even much get the right people in place. And sometimes, you said, it could take a little longer, if never four, like we heard before. But once you get those people, then they have to stay healthy.
Sure.
You know? So I always say in 2 to 3 years, they should be competing at a high level for NFC Championship, NFC East Champions, and then NFC Championship. Because once you get there, then guess what? The next step is go to the – you should be – the if you get home field advantage, you got a better team, you go to the Super Bowl.
Well,
but it's not going to – I don't think you can just throw some people, new people this year and say, oh, let's get it done. Chemistry matters in this damn league. And everybody like to talk about the positions and who's offense and defense. Who gives a damn? If you don't have great chemistry with the people that you have, you're going to have a problem.
Well, and to your point, and going back to San Fran, they went 6-10, 4-12, boom. They popped. Everybody stayed healthy. They went 13-3, went to the Super Bowl. That's when they lost to the Chiefs, even though they had a lead in the fourth quarter, right?
Yep.
The following year, they were back to 6-10 because they had injuries.
Yeah.
Garoppolo went down. Remember, like Nick Mullins ended up starting for him. So nothing's a given. Ideally, you build a good enough roster that you can sustain injuries. I think that's what the last two Niners teams have proven above anything.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, Brock Purdy starting down the stretch, everybody thought they were shot. Now Brock Purdy's a household name, whatever else, yeah. But it's very different when you have that good of a roster.
It's different, and I think the thing what it comes down to, when you start building a team, and I know for sure in this area, we always talk about the top five people, to be honest with you. We don't worry about the other 48 behind them. But that damn bottom 15 of that 53, they are vitally damn important as you go down the stretch. So when I see a team being built, we basically know who the 22 are going to be. I'm worrying about who the last 15 are going to be because those guys need to be at least capable enough. If something happened to your top guy and those guys have to be pushed into action, they can handle it.
So, obviously, yesterday was cut day. And while it's only the initial 53, there's going to be a lot of movement, frankly.
Yeah, totally.
I was saying, I kind of want to go through line by line and look at – because it's easy to say what they should do, where they should add, but now that you have 53, to add someone means you have to cut someone or do some sort of transaction.
Maneuvering.
Yeah, some maneuvering. So who's at the top of the list to be maneuvered? Because there's some people there. There's some things to explore there. It's Wednesday. We're going to have our guy Neil Greenberg join us at 11. PFT Commenter is actually going to join us today, which should be a lot of fun. That's at 12:40. Then Denton Day around 1 o'clock. Denton Day. I'm a big Denton fan. I think he's a smart kid. Clearly, he's got a lot going. He's doing his serious shows. You know what I mean? Like, Denton's a go-getter. Yeah. I applaud that in him.
He's a hustler.
Today is possibly the hottest day of the year.
Yep.
Denton's wearing black pants. I saw him in the hallway earlier.
Long pants?
Long pants. Not the sharpest.
But he's inside, though. He's not outside, Jay.
But at some point, you're going to be outside, man.
Yeah, but not that long.
We don't know what he does.
He's walking to a car.
He goes jogging. We'll find out.
He's not.
We will check in with Denton a little later. We have Landfill here, and we have Heavy Metal Chris here. Good morning, Landini. How do you do? Landini waves and gives thumbs up. All right. We'll talk to Chris in just a moment. Did you get to watch any of the Nats game last night, B?
We were passing by it, and then once I saw that Jeff was bad luck, I figured that the Yankees were losing. So I looked at a little bit of it. My buddy Kenny's birthday was last night.
Oh, nice. What'd you guys do?
I just met him over at this place to have a few beers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fun. Happy birthday to Kenny.
He's 51, looked like he's 71.
What a jerk. Friends like this, Kenny, who needs enemies? Now listen, all our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, get tons of benefits, save money on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Jeff went to the Nats game last night.
Yep.
Shout out to Bob Biaggi and Andy High, our friends from Oarsman Automotive of
Jeff
Virginia.
Jeff is the cooler.
So Biaggi called me after the show, said, hey, I got a ticket for Yanks Nats tonight. You want to go? I had to go to NBC4 to do some cut day stuff. I said, I can't do it, but my guy Jeff's looking for a ticket. He's like, Jeff, you work with? I was like, yeah. And Bob goes, he's fun, right? And I was like,
like he didn't believe it.
I was like, he's definitely fun. He's a little nuts, but he's fun.
His name is Jeff Too Funny.
Right. And so Bob's like, all right, let's try this. And so I text Jeff. I'm like, yo, I think Bob's going to call you. Just answer a 703 number. Have some fun. At 7:29 p.m., This is not late into the night. Now, Bob and Andy have nice tickets. Good for them. They have tickets in the Diamond Club section where it's free beer and free food, right?
Yeah.
At 7:29 p.m., I can't stress how early in the night this is. This is 7:30 at night. Biagi texted me an update. Jeff's had 9 free ice cream bars and 11 beers. 7:30 at night. And then this morning, what time was this? At approximately 8:57 a.m., Jeff says, hey, fellas, Heavy Metal Chris is coming in for me today. I have to get something done. Mm-hmm. Jeff claims there's no correlation between the photo we received last night.
Jeff said he only had 1 ice cream and 2 beers.
Hold on a second.
I will take the over on all of those numbers.
What time did he tell you that I was covering for him?
At 9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, 9 a.m. this morning. Okay.
What time did he reach out to you?
Last night, he messaged me around 9 p.m.
Probably around his 13th beer.
I was out to dinner with someone. I didn't write him back for like an hour. That's why I thought. I was like, wait, did he tell you I was doing this before?
No.
But he was eating ice cream sandwiches or something is what he told?
Correct.
Ice cream bars.
Yeah, he told me that he got invited to a crazy studio session.
That's what he said, that he had a DJ thing come up, and hopefully it all worked out. I love Jeff. I also love, so I watched the game last night. When the Yankees come to Nats Park, it does feel a little bigger because it's the Yankees and it's ALNL and all that. And, you know, there's still all this excitement with Dylan Cruz just getting called up. Cruz hit a rocket double last night. But you get into the 8th inning of this game, and it's a – what's that? Oh, Jeff's calling in to defend himself. 8th inning of this game, bases loaded, and the Nats get out of it. And I was just so happy. They turned a double play, and then Finnegan closed them out in the ninth. Got a little dicey, but I very much enjoyed the program. But joining us now on the BetQL guest line is our friend Jeff Too Funny. What's remarkable is the first 15 minutes of the show, when Jeff is here,
he's not here.
He's very rarely this alert, but when he's not here, he's on the line. Hello, Jeff. What up?
JP, you are a Bama.
Why? I'm just reporting the facts.
Those were not facts. It shout out to Bob and the guys because it was a good time. But I only had 2 beers and 1 ice cream, and I am not hungover.
Well, you don't sound solid. Like it.
No, I'm up and about. I'm not even in my house.
Biagi, if you're listening, call in and refute Jeff's claims of 2 beers and 1 ice. Jeff, listen, you and I are friends.
He don't like beer. That's why he probably had 2 beers. Well, he's probably like you.
He had 2 Stellars.
No, he don't really like beer. He's like, you say I had 1 martini, but you had like 10 other things.
How many drinks did you consume? Not just beer.
Drink 2. I only had 2 Stellars. I was more so watching the game because something didn't feel right yesterday.
Yeah, you were in the stadium.
And what happens? The Nats bats gets hot. The Yankees just want to
score 4
the
runs.
Right,
it wasn't exactly a bloodbath.
Yeah, it was bad. But the good news is, you know the Nationals are my second team, so it was good seeing Dylan Cruz get his first team.
You can't claim your second team when they're playing your first team, dude. That doesn't count.
Yeah, no.
I'm also taking – I'm gonna place you on hold real quick, Jeffrey. Landfill, I'm going to need you here. We all know Jeff pretty well. Biagi says he had 13 beers and 9 ice creams. Those numbers may be exaggerated. Jeff claims he had 2 beers and 1 ice cream.
I would agree with the 2. 2 beers. The 1 ice cream, I don't know about.
I'm taking the over on both. If you're sending it 2.5, 1.5, I'm going over on both.
I'm going to take the tick. I'm telling you, I've been with him many times, and he does not like drinking beer.
Landfill.
Well, first off, beer and ice cream is an absolutely diabolical combo.
What are you thinking? He sounds like he's in like a hallway, so he might be in the bathroom right now.
If you had a bunch of ice cream and beer, like you probably would miss work the next day because that would destroy you.
Jeff, what is What do you have going on that you're able to call into the show but not be here?
He sent you a text. You didn't read the text. Read the text. Don't read it out to the public.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't read that out to the public, man.
He read everything but he read everything on the text thread but that.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, good luck today, buddy. both in the bathroom and in all the other rooms. And let me be unequivocal. I do not believe you only consumed 2 alcoholic beverages last night.
I put it on my grandmother.
Dude, I went with him a few times, and I'm looking, and he wouldn't have the beer, and he wouldn't order any drinks.
Okay, but B, that may be true. I've also been with him a few times when he has all the drinks and everything.
He don't drink beer, though. He drink a lot of stuff.
They got other stuff.
Hold
in
on.
There,
hold
goodbye,
on.
Jeffrey.
All right, bro. Good I'll luck. Call you up tomorrow.
Jeff Walker is one of a kind. One of one.
He
that
is definitely
guy.
That.
All right, Brian.
Yeah.
Time to get down to business here. Yesterday were roster cuts. We've got the initial 53-man roster. I'd like to go through position groups.
Let's do it.
Kind of what we think of each group. I also want to identify the transactable people. Real quick, though, before we go, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this, but I recorded a podcast last night with Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football, and we talked about the best story, best news we heard yesterday. And there's a couple easy ones. I think the 2 undrafted guys, Owens, we didn't even talk about Owens that much because for like 2 weeks he seemed like a roster lock. He's been that good.
Yeah.
I think Yankoff's a tremendous story. We'll touch on that. That's the guy's name, Lanfield.
His name is a story.
I mean, if they sell those jerseys, they're going to sell, baby. But B, I think a fella that has gotten a lot of heat, and some of it deserved, but not all of it, right? I think there's some positional stuff that maybe didn't make a ton of sense. Adam Peters, Dan Quinn show up damn near immediately just due to timelines of the NFL structure. Mm-hmm. They had to tell Jamin Davis, yo, we're not picking up your option, mm-hmm. but we want you to play this year. And then a few weeks later, they're like, by the way, we're going to make you switch positions.
Yeah.
And all the kid did was show up, go to work.
He brought in from the beginning.
Make the team at the new position, have a positive attitude. And I don't know how well it's going to go. Maybe he has 9.5 sacks. Maybe he has 2.5. Like, I have no idea what will happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will be proven that he's too light to be on the field, set the edge against the run. We don't know. Today, on August 28th, it's a pretty cool story that a guy whose NFL career undoubtedly got off to a rocky start, and then new coaches showed up, said, listen, we need to see you do something else, and he did it. He responded.
The story can be told.
I always applaud the man in the arena.
Like, we thought he was used wrong at first. They tried to change his position.
But we never thought they were converted to a DN.
This group comes in and say, oh, he may be able to do something else. And he was willing to try it. And then when he tried it, he was putting the work in. And by putting the work in, boom, he's here still.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
We have no idea what happens week 10, week 6, week 14, but it's a cool story right now. So congrats to Jamin Davis. Let's go through position by position. There's going to be more transactions. It's a straight-up needle in a haystack to try to guess who it's going to be from a big, wide NFL.
Yep.
But who's it going to be from Washington that gets got? Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You heard me talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, I have a little something different for you now. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All night long.
All night.
Oh. All night long.
I'm B's backup singer right here.
All night long.
All night.
All night long.
Apparently when Jeff called in, I didn't notice this. Did you guys notice this? that his smoke detector started beeping in the background?
I didn't hear that.
I got a bunch of tweets about it. So maybe Jeff really did only have two beers, but that doesn't mean there weren't other things floating about in the air. I mean, hell, you just walk down the street by Nats Park and you smell everything. All right, Brian, let's get down to business. Cut day yesterday. Can't stress enough that the Commanders have announced their initial 53.
Yeah.
Waivers will clear this afternoon. Like, they have the second waiver claim. If you had to pick a position, a specific player is kind of nuts, right? I think there's student Noah Brown, the Texans released. Wideout can make a lot of sense. There's a corner, Eric Scott, that played for Dallas. They released that DQ really liked a lot. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them trying to get better at tackle. But just a position group that you would put at the top of your priority list with that. The second waiver claim is a pretty powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
What position would you want addressed with that second waiver claim? Are you straight BPA?
I'm thinking they may do something. I'm thinking the receiver core, they may do something with that. I think they're happy with the tackles.
Sure. I mean, they kept Ridgeway and Mathis.
Yeah. But the fact that they were trying to trade Ridgeway will make you think that something may still work there, may come there.
Well, they were also trying to trade Stromberg and Cole Turner.
Mm-hmm.
They cut them.
I'm saying maybe Ridgeway was one that got a little bit more love, and now you may be able to utilize that as you move forward because you kept him.
Yeah, maybe. Especially if there's an injury or something into the season. We got to talk. I'm not trying to drag. I know there's a lot of dragging going on in the world. But Ricky Stromberg in the third round, and then you have to cut him a year later.
But you got to realize, too, like, and one thing about it, you can't read too much into that, because from one staff to the next, a person can look totally different.
Totally. I hear you. But to go 3-4 last year, Stromberg, Daniels, and, dude, when the Daniels pick happened, this is not, Monday morning quarterbacking. When the Daniels pick happened,
mm-hmm.
myself and a lot of folks were like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll never be able to play tackle in the NFL. I mean, he got fake injury. He got IR'd for a year and then released. Like, that's a fourth round pick, dude.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's what I want to do. Let's go through position group by position group of the guys that made the team, and we can kind of say what we think of the group. I'll let the boys in the aquarium weigh in here, too. Quarterback. Jaden Daniels, Mariota, Jeff Driscoll.
I'm good with that.
This is the group I expected all along.
Yep.
I wonder if Hartman never had the shoulder injury, maybe he could have pushed Driscoll for that third job, but I don't see it.
I don't. If he was healthy, I don't see him pushing Driscoll.
I agree. I don't know that Hartman
has better wheels.
Well, I don't know that Hartman has a pro arm,
honestly.
But you also have this situation. Jaden's never played in the NFL. Jaden looks great, but we have no idea. There's just not a lot of pro experience. Mariota does, but then he tweaks the groin in preseason.
Uh-huh.
I got a feeling that he could have played if it was regular season, suited up. But, like, you were keeping three quarterbacks, I think, regardless. And then as sure as hell you're keeping three when Mariota tweaks his groin.
Yeah, definitely.
So I got zero doubts, confusion, anything about how they handled the quarterback position. McSorley was an awesome story, and by all accounts, he's a great dude. And he made the preseason fun, especially with the local angle, but I don't think he was a part of the plan. Maybe if Hartman's shoulder continues to be a problem and they want a practice squad quarterback and Trace has that familiarity with Cliff Kingsbury's mm-hmm. offense, maybe Trace becomes your practice squad quarterback. But I think they're going to want that to be Hartman. We'll find out. Or it could be somebody else, because there's
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden probably 100 practice squad quarterback potential guys out there.
Yeah.
Running back. We knew B-Rob and Eckler. There's zero surprise there.
McNichols had the familiarity as well with Cliff, right?
He does.
Yeah.
I thought
Wally had done it.
McNichols has the familiarity with Peters. McNichols has never played for Cliff.
Oh, okay.
But San Fran signed McNichols late in the 17 season. I thought Wiley outplayed McNichols.
Yeah.
McNichols, though, if I had to guess what they like is you go back to his 2 years in Tennessee. He was a legit in 21 before he had an injury, he was a legit pass catching back. Mm-hmm. And I think they must like that or value that, and maybe they really view him as somebody that can help you in pass pro. But B, I thought Wiley outperformed McNichols.
And maybe, I watched Wiley step up and hit linebackers in preseason.
Maybe you think you can get Wiley back.
Possibly.
But there's something else here that is really pretty damn remarkable. If we froze our brain at the end of last season and rewind it, Chris Rodriguez would have been firmly on this team. Look at the numbers. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry last year. He went for like 250, two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It is remarkable that not only a guy that was fairly productive for a fifth-round rookie last season is off the team, but B. Mitch, as we talked about the third running back position for the last 2-3 weeks,
yeah,
C-Rod was not a part of this.
It wasn't.
Like he was completely down the roster.
This is the difference, Jay. I'm going to go back to that. One guy on one team, the way he looked to them, Ron's draft pick looked better to him than Ron's draft pick looked to everybody else.
Yeah.
I think, but when you start
beauty
looking,
is in the eye
you
of
start
the beholder.
Looking at practice, look at games. And if you're not caring about the person being drafted, where he was drafted and all that stuff, he wasn't better than the other running backs on the football field. His effort wasn't the same. His, you know, intensity, the way that they were going at things wasn't the same. And if I'm someone looking at it, I'm like, okay, he's dropped down. And that's all I saw. And I think they seem to see what, when I have conversations with like a lot of my former players and buddies, they see exactly what those guys see. This guy, he's not showing you he wants to be here. Because the people that really want to be here, they are fighting tooth and nail. And he wasn't. He was just going through the motions.
Landini, what do you make of the running back group? B-Rob Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, your third back.
I mean, it seems like a reasonable group.
Top heavy, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Quarterback group, you cool with it?
That's... The quarterbacks, I mean, that was kind of the expectation, you know, all along.
Kind of had to be.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, there was just no way Trace McSorley was going to make the team.
We were having the Dayton show. Hartman wasn't looking like he would make the team.
Yeah, he definitely, again, make a reality show, but you're probably not a football team.
Good-looking fella, Sam Hartman. I still think it's possible he's on this roster.
Who?
Hartman.
On
the practice squad.
Oh, yeah, that's not the roster then.
Right. Sorry, I misspoke there. We'll see how that all shakes out. I think, I don't understand this. The stream is up and running. We got people asking if we always do this. Yes, dude, we do it all the time.
Always do what?
The stream.
I was up there, didn't it just jump?
Why does this dude, we have a new person joining the stream, Landfill. Are you aware of this guy? Philly Eagles fan. And he says, this has got to be the worst roster in the league by far. Name a worse roster.
You got to ignore him. That's all you got to do is just ignore him. Because he's not here to say nothing positive. So
our guy Tay, who's our guy on the stream, he replied to him, why are you here? I think that's I don't know. Listen, the more the merrier. This is a more the merrier kind of club. Everybody's welcome. But it's kind of funny. There's just a random Eagles fan trolling in the stream chat.
They probably kicked him off of anything in Philadelphia.
I guess, man. That's all right. So we've gone through just two positions. We got a lot of positions to go through. There's kind of a lot to figure out with this roster. And what I think might be more interesting is who can they cut or perhaps move to IR or figure out a way they want to get new people in. Because just because you made the initial 53 The real 53 is who's on the field next Wednesday morning when they start getting ready for Tampa. The other part of this is, Brian, we have to go out there this afternoon for practice. We're going to hear from Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. Now, you and I did a lot of programs from the media tent during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, B, we were out there for any day as hot as they're projecting today to be.
Oh, yes, we were.
You think so?
Hell yeah.
B, it's supposed to be 98 at 4 o'clock.
We were out there for some of them days that were hotter than that. It felt hotter than that.
We also had some cool days. Remember that cool stretch where it was like pleasant out there?
Yeah, last week.
So it just
proves. When camp was over, basically.
Right. It just proves the weather this time of year can be unpredictable all the time. So be ready no matter what the temperature is with a $99 heating and cooling check from the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. That's right. For just $99, a Crop Metcalf five-star tech will check both your home's heating and cooling system and assure peace of mind today no matter what the weather brings tomorrow. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. All right. Quarterback completely makes sense. Running back mostly makes sense. I think I would have kept Wiley. I think you would have kept Wiley. Perhaps they like what McNichols can offer from a kick as a kick returner with Pringle. Okay. I'm not going to fight you on it. I also think there's a lot of third running backs across the NFL that are pretty comparable skill sets, and I won't be shocked. Like, I don't know that Jeremy McNichols is on this roster for 17 games this year. A lot of things can change, emerge, whatever, right?
I think if he's healthy, he'll be here.
Like, if something happens to Eckler, I think they feel like McNichols can help them.
Mm-hmm.
I think if something happens to B-Rob, I think another person would be coming in. Somebody that could be more of a power runner. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Still, no gigantic surprises yet. We get to the wide receiver position. If you just turn it in, you just turn your car on, I don't know. The Commanders had roster cuts. The whole NFL had roster cuts yesterday. One of the headlines, I would say, was that they released Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
Big body guy. Caught that touchdown in the last preseason game. Perhaps even more impressively, had the seal block on Mike Wiley's touchdown run. A really good job on the edge there. What was your reaction to Bryant getting cut?
I wasn't shocked. And, I mean, I think we made it a bigger deal than what it actually is. When someone hasn't played ball in 6-7 years or whatever it is, you can't be surprised when they don't sign him. And he was here for basically a week. You know what I mean? So I'm not shocked. I understand when he came in, he's a different look of what they have. And I know what he's done. But then again, still, I think if you hadn't been signed in all that time, they probably feel we can let you go out there and nobody's going to come pick you up. We can come back and get you later.
So I'll run you through the receiver position here. Deami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Pringle. I always goofily want to say Brian. It's Byron. Byron Pringle. OZ, Olamide, Zaccheaus, Terry McLaurin, Jamison Crowder.
Yep.
An interesting question here. So Bryson Tremaine gets cut. I think he had an opportunity to play his way on in the last preseason game and didn't. He didn't play well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Tinsley was on the roster last year. He gets cut. Of these six wideouts, this is basically who I thought it would be, and then there was a question if they're going to keep a seventh to me.
Uh-huh.
They decided to keep a fourth tight end. We'll get to that. Of these six wideouts, though, eventually on game day, when we get to Tampa in, 9 days away perhaps, mm-hmm. They will have to have inactive players because of NFL rules. Mm-hmm. Generally, your sixth wideout is an inactive player.
Uh-huh.
Looking at this scenario, is Terry McLaurin going to be inactive?
Nope.
Deami Brown?
Nope.
OZ?
Nope.
Jamison Crowder's your punt returner, right?
Yeah.
Byron Pringle's your kick returner,
it's
right?
It's possible that Luke can be inactive, but Luke also is learning, and that could give him a little bit of time. He has great ability. But he's learning right now, and I would say if you go into a game with those five without Luke, you got a lot of experience.
You've got, I mean, Luke's the only guy over 6 foot. Maybe Pringle's 6'1".
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
I think it's more. Tell me what you think is more possible. I think it's more possible they don't have any inactive wideouts than it is. Like, I'd go 65% all those guys dress week one in Tampa.
It's possible, but if they, what if somebody get injured in another position and they need to have somebody else over there? Then I can see. But the whole thing is, Luke is the guy what you're hoping. These other guys have done stuff in the league. You know, because Diami.
Totally.
You can say what you want about him.
I kind of think you're hoping with Diami at this point, too.
But in their eyes, Diami has stepped up and showed them something. You don't move Jahan and keep Diami and have played him as much if you are not intrigued by what he's doing.
I agree, but I have seen Diami look good in August.
But we haven't seen him get as much work in August like he was getting this year.
Sure.
And we haven't seen someone that has confidence in him.
I think Diami is still a hope. It's hardly a given.
They're hoping he's the number two receiver.
Clearly.
So, I mean, look, he out-dueled everybody that was going against him.
Totally. What do you make of this scenario? If OZ can return punts, could Crowder be inactive?
Possibility.
I think that's intriguing. And then as we.
But OZ has returned punts.
Right.
He did it earlier this year.
And then if we're talking about them adding another wide receiver, they've got the second waiver claim. This dude, Noah Brown, last year went for 560, I think, and maybe three or four touchdowns in Houston. Bigger guy, gives him some size. Was in Dallas prior to that with Dan Quinn, so there's at least some level of familiarity. Now, everybody assumes, they were in Dallas together. They know each other. They might hate each other. Who knows?
You never know.
We always assume familiarity is a good thing. The thing I think
Crowder has going for him, he's sure. And you want a sure-handed guy back there. You want a guy who's consistent and gives you great confidence. I think out of all of them catching punts, he is that guy.
I totally agree. I think that's why he's on the roster, frankly. I think, though, adding a wide receiver is a real possibility. I don't necessarily think adding a wide receiver means one of these guys gets cut. I think if they add a wide out, that roster spot is perhaps coming from the tight end or the O-line room. I'll explain what I mean. Next is Neil Greenberg. We're back to the roster at 11:30. Nobody go anywhere.